As the year draws to a close, it's time for our annual look at words that have been added to the American Heritage Dictionary. And here to help us do that is the dictionary's executive editor, Steve Kleinedler. Steve, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you, Indira, for having me on. It's always a pleasure talking to everyone here.
Well, let's start with some of the words that you added this year. For example, humble brag, a term that we see a lot on social media with hashtags. Tell us, what does it mean and why did you put it in?
A humble brag is a superficially modest or self-deprecating statement that is clearly intended to impress others. We felt that this term has been brought out into the popular culture to such an extent that you see it referred to in publications across the spectrum, from online blogs to things like the New York Times and what have you. And we thought it was worthy of putting in at this point.
So it would be something like, oh, poor me. I'm so tired after having had to cover that Obama press conference. Hashtag humble brag, or give us an example.
That could be one, especially if you're a reporter, or something about like, oh, I had to take my cashmere sweater to the cleaners and it's going to be a day late or something, where you're bragging about something but trying to come off as showing humility at the same time.
All right. Well, some of the words that you've chosen feel very new, like dox. Tell us about that, D-O-X-X.
Yes, depending on how into online sites like 4chan and Reddit you are, doxing, or to dox, is to publicly disclose the identity, address, or personal details of someone, especially as a form of online harassment. Mm-hmm. So when you get Gamergate, for example.
That's right.
Or in situations like that, you've got a large army of people setting out to harass or to otherwise bring someone into the public spotlight or greater scrutiny. That activity is called doxing.
Well, you've added several food words. Some of these are very delicious delicacies, like the Korean dish bibimbap, rice cooked with seasoned vegetables, red pepper paste, sliced meat, raw or fried egg, maitake mushrooms. You know, there's one word here that I wasn't familiar with, glera, a variety of grape.
Yes, and it's known especially for its use in making Prosecco. One reason why that was added, one of our editors who is in charge of food did a very thorough house cleaning, if you would, reviewed every food term from A to Z over the last year and a half. And in the process of doing that, one of the things, of course, you're looking at are grape varieties, and noticed a couple of holes in our defining that should be there. So this is an example of a word that came about as a result of reviewing a larger subject field as a whole.
All right. Well, one thing, as you say, the American Heritage Dictionaries goes back and reviews words in specific categories. You did that also with clothing items. And in the 2015 edition, you added the word toe sock, meaning socks that have individual toes, which I personally find incredibly annoying. But apparently, these were quite popular back in the 1970s and then had a revival in the 1990s. Why did they only make the dictionary now?
And they also had a revival for people who want warm feet when they're wearing the toe shoes with the, you know, the different toe compartments. In the same manner where we reviewed all of the food terminology in the last 2 years, we have also gone through A through Z with all the clothing terminology. Mm-hmm. And not just Western clothing, but from a global perspective. And in the process of doing that, the clothing editor realized that in looking at footwear carefully, that this was a term that, as you mentioned, exists and just had been left out. A lot of our new words enter the dictionary through that review process.
All right. Well, tell us in simple terms, what is the criteria that you use to add a word to your dictionary?
It depends entirely on the type of word that it is. For example, when they synthesize a new chemical element, the scientific group that decides this is what it called, they call it that, and it goes because they get to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other end of the spectrum, getting far away from science, we're looking at national presence, something that has moved beyond just a niche group, something that one is likely to encounter in the national conversation or national press. One of the food terms that you mentioned, bibimbap, is something I've been familiar with, mm-hmm. For decades. When I lived in Chicago, I lived next to a Korean neighborhood, mm-hmm. and ate it all the time.
And churrasco, another one that's new in the book, and I think I feel like I've known about that forever too.
And you know, it's certainly in areas with a large Brazilian or Portuguese population, churrasco is very widespread. Or Argentinian as well. So with like these food words, for example, we're looking to see how when they spread beyond their ethnic neighborhood bases and you know spread across the country, they're discussed locally. And most importantly, especially with the food, when you see a term being used and not being described as what it is, that's a good sign that it's taken that next jump and has entered the language fully.
Well, I noticed, for example, that you have snarky in your dictionary, but not the word snark. So it makes me wonder which words didn't make the cut into this update, but you think might be in the next one.
Snark is actually one of them. We had added snarky some time back. In the last year, I know, because I reviewed the editor who wrote the draft definitions, it's in the process of being added for next year. So there's a good example right there.
We've been talking about words that have been added to the update of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language with Steve Kleinedler, executive editor. Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on, Indira. It's been a pleasure.